If you would now turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 5 as we continue looking in our serial readings through the book of Isaiah. We're in Isaiah chapter 5 now, reading verses 1 through the end of the chapter, verse 30. Isaiah 5, verse 1 through 30. Starting in Isaiah 5, verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. Let me sing now for my well-beloved, a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and he also hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, a cry of distress. Woe to those who add house to house and join field to field until there is no more room, so that you have to live alone in the midst of the land. In my ears the Lord of hosts has sworn, surely many houses shall become desolate, even great and fine ones, without occupants. For 10 acres of vineyard will yield only one bath of wine, and a homer of seed will yield but an ephah of grain. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may pursue strong drink, who stay up late in the evening that wine may inflame them. Their banquets are accompanied by lyre and harp, by tambourine and flute, and by wine, but they do not pay attention to the deeds of the Lord, nor do they consider the work of his hands. Therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst. Therefore Sheol has enlarged its throat and opened its mouth without measure. And Jerusalem's splendor, her multitude, her din of revelry and jubilant within her descend into it. So the common man will be humbled, and the man of importance abased. The eyes of the proud also will be abased. But the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment, and the holy God will show himself holy in righteousness. Then the lambs will graze as in their pasture, and strangers will eat in the waste places of the wealthy. Woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood, and sin as if with cart ropes, who say, let him make speed, let him hasten his work that we may see it, and let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come to pass that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. Therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes stubble and dry grass collapses into the flame, so their root will become like rot and their blossom blow away as dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. On this account, the anger of the Lord has burned against his people, and he has stretched out his hand against them and struck them down and the mountains quaked, and their corpses lay like refuse in the middle of the streets. For all this, his anger is not spent, but his hand is still stretched out. He will also lift up a standard to the distant nation, and will whistle for it from the ends of the earth, and behold, it will come with speed swiftly. No one in it is weary or stumbles, none slumbers or sleeps, nor is the belt at its waist undone, nor its sandal strap broken. Its arrows are sharp, and all its bows are bent. The hoofs of its horses seem like flint, and its chariot wheels like a whirlwind. Its roaring is like a lioness, and it roars like young lions. It growls as it seizes the prey and carries it off with no one to deliver it, and it will growl over it in that day, like the roaring of the sea. If one looks to the land, behold, there is darkness and distress. Even the light is darkened by its clouds. So far, the reading of God's Word. So there, the first, very first verse, you look at it, indicates that chapter 5 is to be a love song, it seems. Yahweh to his people, but it is just the opposite, isn't it? It's a formal indictment of Judah's sinful ways. And so we're being taught here, as we have the illustration of the vineyard, the wine vat hewed out from the stone, we're being taught that God wants his people to be holy. He expects them to produce fruit. Good fruit. But Judah has only produced worthless fruit. In every believer's heart, Yahweh has planted a desire to be holy, to be transformed by the work of the Spirit. And this for you, beloved, is an urgent priority, since without holiness, none shall see God, as the Scriptures say. And those who produce no fruit at all will be cut down. And so what is the divine fruit picker looking for? He's looking for a concerned people. Verse 7, his people are to show kindness to the helpless and needy. But verse 8, Judah is exploiting them and accepting bribes from them. Verse 23. Yahweh is looking for a consistent people. Verse 7 again, God wants justice but finds bloodshed. He looks for righteousness but finds distress. These grapes may have looked sweet, holy, good, but they tasted sour. They're wicked and evil. Yahweh's looking for a Christ-like people. He's looking for righteousness and justice, just like what is found in Christ. So we are to be holy as Christ is holy. And this isn't a problem of motivation, because Judah had received motivation of every kind. The vineyard had been cleared of stones, verse 2. There's a watchtower in the middle of the vineyard for protection, to be on guard against the evil one. There's every indication in this chapter that there has been exhaustive work done for the vineyard, and yet it still produces bad fruit. Verse 4. And the vineyard itself was chosen with great care, as God had chosen Israel to be his elect nation through the covenant with Abraham. But years later, they had constantly rebelled. They were people who were either backslidden or entirely unregenerate. For us in the church today, Yahweh has fulfilled his promise. His Son has come, secured salvation for his people. He could not have done more than what has been done. So there is no more motivation that can be given to you. It has been given in full. No greater price could have been paid for the vineyard of his church than the life of the God-man. So, where is your fruit? Where is your fruit? Many of you have claimed to be saved. Where is your fruit? Is there the fruit of growing holiness in your heart? But now remember, do not make excuses either if you see little fruit or no fruit. Judah did that here. They made excuses. Verse 5, the fence around the vineyard was broken. Verse 6, the briars and thorns were hampering the growth of the vines. There was a drought. And so the vineyard of 10 acres, picture that in your mind, 10 acres only produced 10 gallons of wine, which is not very much at all. As it says in verse 10. Verse 17, thus, because of this, sheep and lambs are now roaming it as a pasture. It's not a vineyard anymore, it's a pasture. And so the excuses aren't good. And so six woes are pronounced because of the fruit, the bad fruit. What kind of fruit was produced? Greed, verse 8. Drunkenness, verses 11 and 12. Cynicism, verse 19. Distortion, calling evil good and good evil, verse 20. Foolishness, verse 21. And corruption, verses 22 through 23. And to every woe there is attached a promised judgment. The houses will be laid waste. Arrogant will be humbled. Drunkards will die of thirst. God's anger will be against them. He will strike them down. And the grave will be wide open to receive them. So you see, verse 25, bodies laying in the streets in the heaps. In heaps, the message is clear then. For those who insist on pursuing life outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Every plant that my Heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots, he says. So let us take that and remember that we need to pursue life with Christ. By the righteousness of Christ alone. How do we produce fruit? By the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so we pursue it. And that is how we are admonished and exhorted here in Isaiah 5 as the church of God. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we often think upon, at least we often should think upon our life, our love for You, our obedience to You, the fruit that we produce. And some of the sins that they committed here, Judah committed, we commit. We are often the ones who produce sometimes bad fruit or no fruit. Father, we ask that You would cause us to turn to You, to seek Christ and to follow after Him with great faith. We ask that we would follow Him pursuing holiness as Your Spirit works in our hearts, longing with all our hearts and minds and bodies and spirits to follow You, how You command us, how You show us to live. Not caring what the world thinks, not caring what others in the church think, but following after Christ alone. Father, give us zeal for this, for we struggle in it. We're thankful that You have worked in us, for some, perhaps many of us, good fruit. For some of us, it's a little bit. For some of us, it's very little, far little than that. Father, we ask that we'd produce good fruit and much fruit. Not much bad fruit, but much good fruit. We pray that even in our witness to this world, that we would, as we evangelize and testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a world which, in a country which hates You, Lord, cause Your word to be united with Your Spirit and Your Spirit to do good work in saving many. That it would be said that You, as You used us as instruments, there was from us produced 30, 60, and even 100-fold. Our Father, we don't want any credit in that. We want all glory to be given to Your Son. We do not want to be the prideful, as it talks about here, but be the humbled before Your throne. And yet, Father, do produce good fruit in us. That Your kingdom would be expanded as it is according to Your plan, and that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed. Father, we plead with You as You command us to do in 1 Timothy to pray for our kings and rulers in authority. Lord, be with them. Save their souls, that they would rule according to Your word. Again, we have that election season coming already upon us. Lord, in Your good sovereignty and providence, as we know You ordain all those in authority over us, we ask that You would ordain godly men, godly persons to rule in this nation and in throughout the world. That the gospel would go forward, that we would have peace and be able to live godly lives for Christ Jesus. And yet, Father, as we are approaching, it seems, a time of great persecution, we ask that you would strengthen us now for the task that is ahead and the task that is already here. Strengthen our bodies, our minds, our wills, our affections for you, that we would not have any doubts in our minds, but give us assurance of our salvation. Father, we plead that you would give us that hope and faith which is secure. Father, calls us not to be like Judah here, but to turn to you in all things. Look to you for salvation in Christ alone. For outside of him there is no hope, but only death, and that death forever, in Sheol. Father, hear our prayers, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.